Where's my water, Pastor? Where's my water? I had water last night. I see that hand. Yes. This is how modernistic churches have gotten. I told y'all last night, Wayne Crenshaw, big pitcher of water, ice water, no air conditioning in the building. Him the only one. Oh, man. And now you get a little bottle. Well, that's all right. It's all good. Let's see. It's 20 till 8. Whew. Pastor Gwynn does not pastor anymore. But if you don't do everything the way he thinks it ought to be done, he believes in 20-minute messages. That's all I've heard. That's all I've heard. That's all I've heard. But brother, his grandson got a hold of some old tapes of when he was in Averyville and he preached for 45 minutes. So it is on record. Last night, I had an opportunity to share with you my personal testimony. And we said what we're going to do all week long. We springboarded from chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And we talked about my personal testimony. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Salvation is a choice. It's also a change, and there's a challenge involved in it. And I said that this week, Lord willing, what we're going to do is we're going to address four issues. Number one of them is in missions, is what is our mission? And that's what I'm going to cover tonight, is what is our mission? And it's also found in chapter 5. But before we get to chapter 5, I want to, and I said some things last night, that we are living in troubled times, and I think the worst is coming, and I think the Lord is coming. Pastor's not here, but I've come up with a new doctrine, and the new doctrine is, you know, there's the old doctrine, which is the imminent return of Christ, meaning that there's nothing else left to be fulfilled, right, before Christ. Well, I'm calling it the immediate return of Christ. I think, man, we're real close. I was in youth camp in 1967 during the Six-Day War. The people that were there, the pastors and youth directors, thought, we'll never get these kids home to their parents before the rapture. It's a lot closer than 1967. I know, I'm from Arkansas, but that was smart, wasn't it? Yeah, that was good. Four. I wasn't homeschooled. My grandkids are. Okay. That'd take a little. But we're going to need some faith-building moments. Or it's going to be hard to survive what's coming, in my opinion. And let me say, when it comes down to faith promise giving, faith promise is not your tithe. Tithe was before the law. Tithe was from the law. And if you go to chapter 8, Paul said, you give by equity or equality. There's no way you can give equally except for by percentages. And so tithing is also in the New Testament. Faith promise is not the New Testament. I mean, it is not tithing. Faith promise is something different. And we have a great mission to accomplish that I'm going to be addressing here in a little bit. We cannot do it in natural means. This is a supernatural work of worldwide missions. Now, I'm not just talking about South Africa. I'm talking about right here in West Virginia, in Bridgeport. And it's everywhere we are, there is a mission to carry the gospel to the world. It's called the Great Commission. And we're going to talk about that in chapter 5 in just a moment. But what I'm trying to stress this week is that we need some faith-building moments. I said it last night. I'm not saying it to try and sound ugly to anybody, but it is factual. I'm trying to go somewhere with this. This week, I want you to think about, wouldn't you like to see God do something in your life? Amen. that only God could do, that would teach you to trust God when something else comes down the road. This couple in New Zealand, they have the joy of the Lord because other things have happened in their life where they've learned to trust Jesus. We need those faith-building moments.
Amen.
My mouth is getting dry. God really doesn't need your money. But you desperately need God's blessings.
Amen.
I'm not saying this in a mean way. God really doesn't even need you. Now, He desires you. He wants you. But you desperately need God in your life. This week, I want you to focus on what would God have me to do? Is there something in my life, a relationship? Is there a financial need? Is there a health need? Is there something in your life that you need where God needs to show you something to do? Before we get to chapter 5, believe it or not, music man, I do have notes. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Scheduled to preach a revival the first week in January in Russellville, Arkansas. The Lord had given me clear direction that I was going to use the theme of brokenness. I had no idea that the 1st of December I was going to get COVID. I was going to wind up in the hospital. I was going to have some dark days. What I did not know, that while I was preparing to preach on brokenness, I was going to be broken myself. You've got missionaries that are here this week that are trying to trust God with their lives to take their families far away. Some places are dangerous, but they're far away. How do they get from here to there? God's trying to do a work in your life. And He's trying to get you from where you are to where He wants you. Now, I'm not saying He's calling you young people and going to take every one of them to the mission field in South Africa. All you adults, I don't know what God wants, but God is wanting you from wherever you are to move you forward and down the road a little bit farther. Farther along, that kind of tied in, didn't it? But what He's trying to do in your life is not something that is natural to you. And it's hard for you to learn to trust the Lord. If you don't have faith-building moments, you're never going to trust Him when the storms of life really hit.
That's right. Amen.
Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. If you're used to underlining in your Bible, I've got that phrase, that we should not trust in ourselves, underlined. But in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver. And I've got this in underlined, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us.
Amen.
It is natural for us to trust in ourselves. It's going to be natural when they pass out the faith promise commitment cards for you to get down there and figure in your budget how much you can afford. But faith promise is not about figuring out what you can afford. Faith promises by faith, you asking God to speak to you, what would you have me to do?
Amen.
And then by faith, you do it because you promised God. And God's promise is He'll supply it. That's what faith promise really is.
Amen.
It is not natural for us to trust in God. But nothing in the Christian life can be done naturally. Everything in the Christian walk comes supernaturally. Don't you long to see something happen in your life beyond your power, beyond your ability, beyond your talent? I do. I want to see something done that when it happens, you look back and say, only God could have done this. Bus kid, right? Bus kid. Bus kid. God can take you from there. And He can take you and put you over there. What is the missionary? I said we're going to cover the mission tomorrow night, Lord willing, the method. I'm not a Methodist, but there's some method to it. Number three, Lord willing, our mortal enemy.
Yeah, well, amen.
From 2 Corinthians. I've already had two missionaries telling me that they're going to places where darkness has descended, like in America. And we're going to talk about our mortal enemy. Lastly, we will speak on our motivation. But tonight, what is the mission? If you're a mission-minded person, you are then a missionary.
That's right.
Chapter 5. We read last night, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Wonderful, wonderful scripture. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. By the way, reconciliation is an accounting term. It's also found in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, and someplace over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, I think. Reconciliation. The accounts are out of balance. You've got to balance them. The account is out of balance with all mankind. They're steeped in sin. There's no payment for sin that they can make to even the scales to reconcile the account. But praise God, someone reconciled that account. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then are we ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Our mission is the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
We had a banker here last night. Do we have a banker here tonight? I met a gentleman who works for a bank. He's not here. He's reconciling accounts. Had to stay late. How many of y'all still reconcile your accounts? How many of y'all keep a check register? Hold it. You do? Who keeps the check register? Who? You young people. You don't keep no check register, do you? Look at him. Digitally. Digitally. This is what he does. Incorrect pen. I'm from Arkansas. Get out of there. Get out of there. Go to there. And you see Tennessee State Bank. This is what he does. You didn't see that, did you? That's my bank account. I don't necessarily trust that. I write mine down in a checkbook. Someone say amen. And I reconcile my bank account. My wife ain't got no, she don't know nothing except for how to spend it. She don't reconcile it. We were in business in Arkansas whenever her account got short. They called me and said, Mr. Mike, we got to move more money out of your store account to your wife's account. That you don't have to reconcile account. How many of y'all are on a budget? We're talking finances here. How many of y'all are on a budget? Tell me who's on a budget. I want to see your hands. If you're up, raise your hand if you're on a, you're on a budget. You got a gun. You don't have to be on a gun. You just rob people. My son said, Dad, you need a budget. Y'all think I'm kidding you. YNAB, you need a budget. YNAB. Has anybody seen this app before? You need a budget. He's got me budgeting. Looks pretty bad. And I checked mine too. I know that's a lot of funny. I'm telling you right now, I keep track of my money. I don't have much. I keep track of my money. We're working now to pay off our house. I'm 67. She's definitely going to outlive me, isn't she? She needs a place to live. How old are you, young man? Do you have a job? Get one. Paying the social. Who here has a good job? Where's? Yes, sir. You have a job. You got jobs?
Yes, sir.
How old are you, sir?
28.
28. You're working?
Yes, sir.
Got a job?
Yes, sir.
Get a paycheck?
Yes, sir.
Pay into Social Security, right?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. You'll never see a dime of it. I need that money now. And you, do you know these folks? You're never going to see nothing. They're even going to take out a reverse mortgage on the house. You'll never see the house. There's a ministry given to us. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I've got really complicated points here. Number one, about this ministry of reconciliation. All need to be reconciled. Everybody. South Africa, Chile, Spain, West Virginia, all men everywhere need to be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Do y'all sing that song here? The old account was settled long ago. There used to be company stores. Is this an area where they had company stores?
Yeah.
You worked in the coal mines.
Yeah.
Had one in Arkansas. We were a mill town. And you could go charge everything at the company store till you got your paycheck, and you got your paycheck at the company store, and they took out what you owed, or you ran up a tab. And the company store was a way that that employer owned you. I feel like I'm that way now. If you've got to work, somebody else is calling the shots, you're a modern day slave. They can tell you where to live, where you go to work, what you're going to do with your money, you're a modern day slave. Somebody else is calling your shots. We don't want you in a car that can drive 350 miles. We want you in an electric car because we're trying to control how far you can go. Or we want you on public transportation where we can know where you go. Oh, and by the way, you can't spend your money exactly the way you want to because you don't need those big sodas. We need to limit your sugar intake. And you can't send your kid a lunch because you don't know how to nutritiously make your lunch. So we're going to tell you what kind of lunch to buy. I mean, we're getting into that in the United States. All men everywhere need to be reconciled. But there's no way for any man anywhere to reconcile himself to God because no man can meet the standard that God has set for man to reconcile himself. No man ever did that. And then along came Christ. He had no seed of sin. And he had no Adam blood in him. And he lived a sinless life. So number two, Christ made the way for reconciliation to take place. All men need to be reconciled all over the world, no matter what race, no matter what country, no matter what religion they're in now. They desperately need to be reconciled with God or spend an eternity in hell. And there's no way they can do it. But number two, Christ made the way. Number three gets complicated. All men everywhere have to be reconciled the same way. There's not a different way in West Virginia from New York. There's not a different way from Togo, West Africa to South Africa. All men are reconciled the same way. There's not a Baptist way. There's not a Methodist way. There's only one way. All men need to be reconciled, cannot reconcile themselves. Number two, Christ made the way for reconciliation. And only Christ could have done it because he was God as much as he was man. And in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He wasn't talking about no lamb, no ram caught by his horns in a thicket. He was saying, Abraham, one day I will provide my son as my sacrifice. We sing a song. This is the day that the Lord hath made. What is that, Pastor? You, Psalms 118? Where is that? This is the day the Lord hath made. Where is that? 118? Come on, music man, where is it? And we sing, this is the day. That is traditionally sung on Passover night. And it's not talking about any day. It's talking about crucifixion day. And when the Last Supper was completed and sundown came, and it was starting of the next day, which is crucifixion day. And they were walking to the Mount of Olives. You can rest assured when it says they sang a hymn and went out. My Savior was saying, this is the day. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. What a wonderful story of salvation. All men need it. Christ provided it. All men have to be reconciled the same way. How are they going to get there? It is an impossible job for us to evangelize the world in the natural sense. Only one thing. God said he is committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now my God can do anything he wants to do. He's sovereign. And I have some people that are a Calvinistic persuasion that say that God is sovereign in all things, except God's not sovereign enough to give man free will. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? God, in his wisdom and in his mercy and with loads of grace on top, could have given the Great Commission to the angels, to anything he wanted to do it. He could have wrote it in the sky. But he gave it to you and me. All men everywhere need to be reconciled. Christ made the way to be reconciled. All men have to be reconciled the same way. And we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. If worldwide missions does not take place, it's because we have dropped the ball with the God-given job of the ministry of reconciliation. It's not their job, it's our job. It's not the angels' job, it's our job. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And without us, the gospel will not go out. God's holy will, divine will, back it up with Scripture, is for every born-again believer to have a part in the ministry of reconciliation. This is Faith Promise conference time, missions conference time. What's your part? What's your part in the ministry of reconciliation? It's not just these missionaries. It's your part. What part are you going to have in the ministry of reconciliation? What's your part, brother?
We're going.
You're going. That's your part. How are you going to get there?
Got to be sent.
Got to be sent. That's your part. We need to keep accounts short. Sometimes in marriage, we don't keep accounts short. We let the sun go down on our wrath. You young people want to understand this? That's when they quit talking. That's when you got a king-size bed and there's a barbed wire fence goes right down the middle of that thing. Well, too many of y'all laughing. You better not put one toe over that. Man, why are you 28? Why in the world are you grinning?
You got a king-size bed in there.
My wife. We got a king-size water bed. We didn't know about putting baffles in it. She's little, I'm not. She got in, I jumped in, the wave hit, tsunami rolled her right out. We need to keep accounts short and reconcile. We're talking about the ministry of reconciliation, it's reconciling short accounts. Because one day my sin was weighing high and I had no way to pay, but God reconcile that account.
Amen.
Now, how much do you think I owe Christ because He reconciled my account? Some of you here have heard the gospel and you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And you have eternity in your hand. And if your neighbor goes to hell because you didn't say anything to him, do you think that's a short account with God? Do you owe your neighbor anything? Do you owe that guy you work with anything? That person that you come in contact with briefly and they waited on you at a table, do you not at least owe them leaving a track? I owe God my eternal soul.
Yep, that's right. Amen. Amen. Preacher.
But God help me, because I owe my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And pray for us, because my neighbor Leon is lost. And if Leon don't get a lung transplant, Leon's going to die. And I was talking to him about it last time. I'm okay. And he ain't okay.
Yeah.
What's your part in the ministry of reconciliation? Do you have a part? Have you ever done anything for the Lord? We cannot reach our generation in natural means. We must depend on that which is supernatural. You have a responsibility because you have the God-given responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation. What are you going to do this week for the cause of worldwide missions? More important than that, what are you going to do about the ministry of reconciliation right here in Bridgeport? What about the neighbor you live next to? Someone you work with? Some family member? God will hold us responsible for what we do with the ministry of reconciliation. We desperately need faith-building moments. Don't you want to see something happen that's supernatural? I was preaching at a missions conference. Never done this before. And four missionaries there. And I pointed, what's your need? What's your need? What's your need? And Jake Weedo looked at me frozen. He's going to go start a church in Lafayette, Louisiana. Jake, what you need? I said, you need something. What do you need? I need chairs. Well, how much? $4,000. The next day when we met for lunch, he said, Brother Mark, you won't believe what happened. So what happened? This was a missionary that needed a faith-building moment. He said, somebody walked up to me after services and gave me $4,100 bills. Now, first off, I never do stuff like that, but I did. What's the chances he said 4,000 and somebody else in that congregation had $4,100 bills? And if anybody here's got $4,100 bills, let me tell you about this bass boat. But that young man needed that before he got to the field. Brother, you need something before you get to the field. You need something before you go back to the field. But let me tell you something, some of you here in these pews, you need something.
That's right. Amen, preacher.
That's what the goal is this week. I want to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have another time of invitation. I know it's difficult sometimes for preachers to get up and preach on money. Joe and I find it very hard to ask for ourselves. We find it very easy to ask for the children's homes, ask for other missionaries. But just in this week, in the sense of worldwide missions and what this church does, and I've seen your bulletin boards and who you support out there, I'm asking you for something. Ted's asking you for something where you don't trust in yourself. You learn to trust in God. Do that which does not come natural. For the cause of Christ in this church and the missionaries you support, don't let the light go out over there because you need a new bass boat. You want another shotgun. You need more carpet in your house. Don't let those things distract you from the ministry of reconciliation. This week, you pray. You ask, God, can I do something where I'm not trusting in myself? Because Ted is tired of it. And if you be honest with yourselves, some of you are tired too of trusting in yourselves. And it's time to trust God. And by faith, promise to do what God lays on your heart. I'm going to pray in a moment. Is there anyone here? Say, Brother Ted, pray for me. Pray with me because I need something from God that's special. Anyone like that? Before I pray. Thank you. Anyone else? Who else? Anyone else? Anyone here? Say, Brother Ted, pray for me because I'm lost. I don't even know the Lord is my Savior. Anyone like that? Anyone? Anyone say, Brother Ted, pray for me. Because I am honestly seeking God in what I need to give for faith promise. Anyone saying, Brother Ted, pray for me. I'm making it a matter of prayer. I'm just not putting a figure down. Thank you. Who else? I'm not just putting a figure down. I'm praying, asking God. I'm not looking at my budget. I'm asking God. Come back tomorrow night. I'll give you the method on how to do that. Father, we thank you for these that are here. Lord, that have so patiently listened. God, I do pray that you would help us, Lord, because this is a great responsibility that we have been given to us in the ministry of reconciliation. God, we have responsibility here on a personal level to our neighbors, to our families, to our friends and loved ones. Lord, we have a responsibility in this whole state, in our area, in our country. Lord, but when we think about foreign missions, Lord, help us. The fields are white unto harvest. And God, it is important that they get there soon. Lord, that they have the resources to do what they need to do quickly. Because, Lord, we believe you are coming soon. God, I pray that you would touch hearts. Lord, that you would challenge people to do something, to step out by faith that they never thought was possible for them to do. Lord, so that you could show them that you are God. Help us now, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray as they play. Why don't you come? If you have need to come and ask the Lord to maybe show you what you need to do, now's the time for you to step out and come. Now's the time to say, God, I want you to show me what you need me to do. Lord, help me to trust you. We need God desperately. Brother Hill was a missionary, by my understanding, in Kenya. And I've been to some places. Where $100 could support a man and his family that's a national pastor starting a church. $100 doesn't mean much to us, but what it does to some man over there. And we hold on to our $100 bill so tightly. Maybe you've got something you're holding on to that God would like for you to turn loose of. God help us sometimes. It's our children. They start drawing close to the Lord. We want to hold on to them. God wants to use them. And we say, oh, don't go into the ministry. That's such a waste. Go into medicine. Go into law. Be careful what you hold on to tightly. Because God can still take it. This week, ask God what you need to turn loose of. Pastor, why don't you finish up?
Our hearts clear tonight. It's a conversation we were having with some of the folks this evening around the meal. That realization that you know your children are not really your own. They really belong to Him. And when I pastored the little church down in Atlanta, and just I would use that auditorium as my place of prayer and just would make loops around the auditorium. And the first time it dawned on me that my sons were getting to the point where, you know, they would soon be old enough to go to college in a few years. And I really struggled with that because I've always loved to have my children around, still do, even though they're all having their own families now. And had to come to that point where I just said, Lord, they're yours. They belong to you. So whatever you want to do with them, whether it's to go to a mission field or whether it's to pastor a church or whether it's just to be in a good church and, you know, serve in a local church, whatever you want, that's what I want you to do with them. But it was difficult for a little while. But I have no regrets. No regrets with that and no regrets the day that I told the Lord I would serve Him, the day I surrendered to preach. I have no regrets. It's really the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And, well, I should say the second greatest thing. The greatest thing that ever happened is the day I got saved. The day I got saved. And by the way, if there's somebody here, you say, you know, I'm not really certain that I'm saved. And when this service ends, if you'd like to come talk with me, and we have other men here that and women that love the Lord, be glad to talk to you. So if that's ever the situation, you just let us know. Because we don't want you walking out these doors without knowing that you know you're on your way to heaven and your sins are forgiven. So you let us know. But I'm so pleased with what's going on these last 2 days, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And so we'll see you back here at 7 o'clock. And don't forget teens over in the Family Life Center there at 3 o'clock with the Clajos. And just keep praying. Keep praying for these next 3 days of our meeting. And I'm sure the Lord will be pleased with that. So let's go ahead and we'll bow for prayer. And Brother Craig, if you wouldn't mind just closing us in prayer tonight, please.